we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us on this edition of the program. Well, I wanted to share something with you that you might be interested in. I sure hope you are if you don't already receive this. But the a podcast, by the way, that we publish this show, this radio show, in the form of a podcast each afternoon. So you can search your podcast store, just type in At the Core, and this show, this podcast will pop up, and you can subscribe to it and listen to the entirety of the show, of the podcast, at your convenience. If for some reason you're not able to catch the live program, or you just want to go back and re-listen to an interview again. So that's the first announcement. The second one, and I've got a total of three. The second one is that we've got the video up at stream.afa.net. stream.afa.net. Go there, create a free account, or become a Great Commission partner and watch The Core live there and past shows as well. And we're on Facebook, At The Core's Facebook page. We've got the live video up on that page each and every day that we broadcast. But the third thing, and really what I wanted to get to, is our magazine. So I've got a copy. This is our June magazine here in studio with me. This is our feature magazine, if you will, and we've had it in publication and in circulation for decades now. It was my grandfather's newsletter, and then it was the AFA Journal, and then about 3 or 4 years ago, we rebranded it to the Stand magazine, and so that's where we are now, and it's an excellent publication. We drop it 11 times a year. We do a combined issue in January and February, and in this June edition, I wrote a piece on page 4. I wrote a column about patience and perseverance during the pulling down of strongholds. So I think it's a good article, but I was the one who wrote it, so I hope I think it's good. And you can check it out by subscribing to our magazine. If you give a gift of any amount to American Family Association, you'll automatically get the magazine. We'll drop it to your house each month. But if you just want to get a trial of the magazine, you can go to afa.net. You click on the Stand tab, because that's the name of the magazine. Click on the Stand tab, and then right there you can subscribe to a 6-month free trial. No gimmicks, no tricks. We just need your information. And you can get the magazine for 6 months to your inbox or to your mailbox, and read articles like mine and countless others covering the culture battle that we're in from a Christian perspective. So the stand.net, or you can go to afa.net and click on the Stand tab right up at the top and subscribe to 6 free months of the magazine. Well, our scripture for the week is in Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. The two things I pointed out Monday that I want to point out again for our listening audience and for myself is that blessed is the man who fears the Lord. That's the first truth. And the second one is the continuation of the upright narrative of surrounding yourselves with yourself with upright people. That's what verse 2 says. The generation of the upright will be blessed. That's what it says. So that's Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. That's our scripture for the week. Well, I want to get to at least a clip or two this segment. We have a special video coming out in June. You know, June is what the unbelieving world celebrates as Pride Month, and it's a complete deviation from biblical truth and God's design for human sexuality, where many people celebrate their sin, they celebrate their pride, which Scripture talks about pride as well. And so we're countering that. We are countering the culture through episode 5 of our AFA at Home series, and we're going to address the sexual deviancy movement all from a biblical perspective and without fear, hesitation, or cancellation on our stream platform, stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net. But I do have a sneak peek. We got about a 2-minute trailer. I'm going to intro it, and then we'll jump into some of the highlights. Let's listen. Hey everybody, Walker Wildman here. I'm going to be hosting AFA at Home Episode 5. We're going to be addressing the LGBTQ issue without fear, hesitation, or apology. Here's a sneak peek at what's included in this episode.
The reason why the homosexual movement has been so successful politically and culturally is because, as Tim mentioned, of the sexual revolution, because heterosexuals wanted their sexual sin first.
Not only has the rejection of God's standard of sexuality destroyed countless lives in the here and now, it's damned countless souls as well.
Yeah.
You know, one of the major reasons why organizations like ours exist, Brother Dom founded and continue on today, is to warn people about the temporal consequences as well as the eternal consequences.
The thing that's happening is that obviously you have friends, you have family, you have loved ones, maybe you have a child who comes out and says that I'm gay or I'm a lesbian or I'm transgender. What is the response to that? And that is where the corrosive power for this movement takes place, especially within parents who have a loved one, a child or someone that they are trying to still show compassionate love to, but they're conflicted because they know what the Bible teaches.
We have to continue to hold up the biblical standard of morality when it comes to human sexuality. You also need to go to a church that reinforces what the Bible says and what you teach at home. Can't be any vacillating on that. Mm-hmm. That's no negotiating on that.
And you cannot ignore, if you ignore parts of Scripture, you're making your congregation very vulnerable to this. You have an obligation as a shepherd to be out there warning people about it.
Well, as I told you, this is a very important topic, and we're going to be addressing it head on. This is going to be available at stream.afa.net. We're going to have an exclusive launch at our AFA Stream platform. Go ahead and create a free account right now at stream.afa.net, and as soon as we launch this video, you'll be the first one to watch it.
There you have it, and rarely do I bring in clips of myself, but it wasn't just me, it was others as well. So stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net is where you can create a free account. And then on June 6th, we're going to launch episode 5 of our AFA at Home series. It'll be available for free to watch for up to 1 week, and then we're going to put it behind the Great Commission partner category, so you'll have to become a monthly donor to access that. But for a week, it's going to be available to anyone and everyone who creates a free account at stream.afa.net. It's about 45 to 50 minutes in length. Abraham Hamilton III, Ed Vitagliano, Tim Wildman, my dad. We had MD Perkins on with us and Fred Jackson. So it's about 6 of us for about 50 minutes, and it's a good roundtable discussion on the issue of human sexuality and what believers should think and do on the issue, and also advice and counsel for pastors and churches on how to deal with this issue. And we get to the root of it and the sin root of the issue as well. So powerful video, stream.afa.net. Go ahead and create a free account. We'll be releasing the trailer to that video, which we just played there, the audio of. We'll be releasing that trailer here in the coming days on our stream platform. Well, jumping into some of the news of the day, I came across this story regarding Target. So Target just announced last week that they would be removing their Pride-themed products the LGBTQ plus alphabet, they would be removing those products from up to 50% of their stores in June of this year. According to the Associated Press, Target, which operates roughly 2,000 stores, said decisions about where to stock pride-themed products, including adult apparel, home goods, foods, and beverages, would be based on guest insights and consumer research. AKA, this line is not making any money, and it's making our customers absolutely furious. That's the interpretation that I'll provide. And this is just years after our very successful boycott that is still in continuation, still ongoing, still active. We've run boycotts for over a decade previously with other companies, so we are 8 years in to the Target boycott, and we're still going full steam ahead because they haven't changed their bathroom policy. And we also sent out an alert last year on this very subject of the pride-themed clothing and line and collection there at Target and how disgusting it is and inappropriate it is, especially in the children's section, is what we pointed out. So Target is paying attention, and they are removing this line from up to 50% of their stores across the country. So our goal is by this time next year, they will have removed the collection altogether because they don't need to be pushing this garbage on their consumers, on their customers. So that was a big victory against Target. I mean, these folks are entrenched. The LGBTQ activists are entrenched with these corporations. So to get these corporations to make decisions like this is a big, big deal. And we are currently in a very challenging environment for retailers. I mean, this is no prime environment for retailers to make stupid business decisions. And we've covered stories where these major corporations are completely disbanding their diversity, equity, and inclusion departments. Why? Because they're looking at the bottom line and they're looking at these woke initiatives and they're saying to themselves, folks, corporate America, colleagues, fellow executives, these woke agenda items that are eating up resources in our corporation are not making any money. They're losing money. We are staffing entire departments and divisions based on the whims and desires and demands of the left-wing Marxist, and it's losing our company money. So let's shut it down. That's what has happened. And so it's one thing to cater to the woke agenda when there is an abundance of money in the economy and consumers are spending, spending, spending. But when push comes to shove and Bidenomics makes its grip on our country, corporate America isn't so woke after all. That's pretty much the message here. Even Target said, we're removing this line from half of our stores because it isn't making money and it's making our customers mad. So my question is, why not remove it from all the stores? Just yank it. Just remove the line from all the stores. Save you the heartache. Save you the money loss. Save you the mad customers. And maybe bring back the customers that haven't been in Target in 8 years, like myself. There are a litany of other competitors that I can shop at other than Target and their mixed up bathroom policy. Thanks for joining us. Two segments remaining. You're going to want to stick around for these next interviews. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Hello, this is Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, I wanted to let you know we've still got a few seats left on our Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. That's coming up in September. For all the information on our tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. We're going to see all the sites of our nation's capital, including a visit to the Arlington National Cemetery, where we will be seeing the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, one of the most patriotic, awe-inspiring sites that you can see. We'll see that while we're in Washington, D.C., and go to George Washington's Mount Vernon. So much to do and see in September. Few seats left. For all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Your church is beautiful. Your church is broken. But you are holding us together.
Welcome back to the Core Worship Wednesday here on American Family Radio. And that song there is Your Way, Yahweh by Jeremy and Adie Camp here on the Core. Hey, Wesley's in with us this Wednesday, as he is most Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And he came in early, which shocked everyone. And we told him to go back and start over and come in late.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Well, apparently, me coming in early threw you off because you've already forgotten what today is. It's Worship Wednesdays with Wesley.
I'm sorry.
Worship Wednesdays with Wesley.
I can't get it right every time.
No.
Worship, www. Yes. Worship Wednesdays with Walker and Wesley.
Will Wildman.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, Wesley, you and I have talked about a litany of projects that we're working on, and some are right around the corner. Some are pushed out to the fall. But I joked and said, you need to do more events because you don't do enough.
Right.
And I'm totally joking because all the events we do is headed up by you.
Yep.
And before we jump to events, and we've got the ARC in October, and you're doing the Men of Honor curriculum this summer, actually starting in the first week of June. But the Activate is what we've teased a lot, and we are about 6 weeks out from launching Activate, so it is right around the corner.
Yes. Before we go any further, though, I do a lot of the emceeing side of these events. I do most all the emceeing side. Help with meetings and coordinating it, but I've got a wonderful team that helps put them together. And that makes sense. I don't want to leave anybody out, so I'm not going to start down the list. But we've got it.
Is my name on the list?
No, you never know. But they're between the different departments.
Not on that list.
Not on that list, yeah. Between the different departments, there's about 8 or 10 people that help me. So these events and these projects that I'm about to talk about are made up of a lot of hard work and a lot of time that's put in from the staff here at AFA. So I just want to remind those that financially support us, you've got a lot of hardworking men and women here at AFA on campus that you will probably never get to meet for the most part. For the most part, that you won't get to meet, but they're here working and they're the ones that help me with these projects. The first one that we'll talk about here is Activate. I've mentioned it before, and with each time I've come on and talk about it, I've had more new information than I had than the last time we talked about it. So the newest information for Activate Project is we are launching June 30th. June 30th, we will launch Activate. And 3 days prior to that, we will launch Activate to a particular group of people who have gone to activate.afa.net and has signed up for the first release of it, which will be 3 days before the big release. So
yes.
Activate is AFA's training course. As 18 DVDs, well, not individual DVDs, sorry, 18 sessions.
Yeah.
That are made up anywhere from 30 to 50 minutes, and they cover five areas. The 18 sessions cover five areas, which are the core areas, core issues of AFA: religious liberty, of course, the biblical foundation, which is the Bible being the ultimate authority for all of these other four things I'm about to mention. The pro-life issue, marriage and family, and stewardship are the areas in which we cover. And those were not in any particular order. The first one for sure is the biblical authority, which is a kind of a spinoff from The God Who Speaks.
Yeah.
So those are the five areas. We take them in 18. So each of the five range from four sessions to eight sessions or six sessions, somewhere in there. We have several different professors. What makes this training course unique and different than any other biblical worldview training? One of them is just the topics we cover. Religious liberty is very important that you won't see in most of the Bible training courses that you find out there. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is that in order for you to graduate or to finish the training course that we provide called Activate, you would have to fill out, you would have to go through the workbook, and in the workbook or online, the course, you have to live out in different ways and in different areas. You have to live out what you learn. And so in order for you to check the box to move on to the next section, you have to live out what you learn. And so an example of that, you say, well, what kind of example are you talking about? Well, when you get to the pro-life section, let's say you finish watching the eight videos that are there, and they come from an apologetic standpoint, a political standpoint, a science standpoint. We cover all the different angles. But once you've watched the video, then the next step is to live out what you learn, which would be, one would be an opportunity you need to go volunteer at a local pregnancy center as part of the process of moving on throughout the course. Another one would be ask your pastor what y'all's church or their church is, assuming you're a member there, y'all's church position is on the life issue. And so there's a long process of going through that challenges you to be active, which is the name of the
yes,
training course,
Activate,
to be active in your faith and to not just leave what you learn at church within the four walls of the church to live it out. So, and we do that in every one of the areas. In every one of the categories, we challenge them to live out what they've learned. And you can't move on. It's a systematic approach. You can't move on from one topic to the next unless you have, with an honor system,
sure,
check the box
completed
that you have lived out. One other one would be taking your friend out to lunch or dinner or to some dessert place and reteaching what you've already learned with a friend. And so you get the idea.
Yeah, we are equipping people to be active believers, to be active in their faith, to be engaged in the culture, to be engaged in their community and their local church. And we do have a clip, a trailer, a sneak peek of the Activate curriculum. Let's listen.
Should Christians be involved in culture, especially the so-called culture wars? What about rape? What about life of the mother? What about the dangers of illegal abortion?
How do we navigate a culture that holds truth as relative and subjective?
Many people today think capitalism is a dirty word.
The cultural perspective on handling money is driven by materialism, greed, and envy.
Is it wrong to be patriotic? As followers of Christ, what obligations do we have to our country?
Society tells us that gender roles are just a man-made construction.
What exactly is marriage? Some people believe that two men can be married. But what does the Bible teach?
I've heard that five times, and I get more excited every time.
I know, I get
it.
Chills every time. it's incredible. Really well put together. The videos are very interactive, with plenty of engaging content, as well as visibly interactive. And so the workbook accompanies the content. You follow along with the workbook. You're challenged to be activating your faith. And that is released on June the 30th. If you go sign up at activate.afa.net, that's activate.afa.net. If you put your email in there, we will release it to you 3 days prior to the hard launch. And the reason that's important is because we have a limited amount of DVDs and resources that we're going to have the first go around. So you're going to want to go sign up there. Really looking forward to it. We've got a lot of good feedback over the last couple of weeks as we've talked more and more about it.
So if folks are interested in this, they want to participate, they can go to activate.afa.net. And what you're saying is if they sign up, if they key in their email at activate.afa.net, they will get exclusive release announcement 3 days before everybody else gets it.
Yes, and this is for those that are really interested in this, you're going to have two options. You can do this with yourself and one other person, or you can do this in a group of 12. And then anything beyond that, we will try to work with you the best we can. But the idea is to do this either one-on-one as accountability or in a large group for accountability. But we'll have two different options there at purchase, and we're really looking forward to it. It's really well done. It's unlike anything else. When you add in the fact that you have to practice what you learn, that adds it a whole different dimension, because we all know there are several very good apologetic books out there or even training classes out there, but they don't take you outside the classroom, and that's what we're going to do with Activate, is take you outside the classroom.
I have an idea. It may be a terrible idea.
Uh-oh.
What if AFA employees went through this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I plan on doing it.
My mind's going all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do it.
I think that would be intense. This is an intense, like when I was talking to you about this program a year ago, it was at this level, and I'm on radio, so people don't see me, but I was at this level, which is mid-level. But now that we're getting ready to release it, this is like up here.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, you got to be all in.
You have to be all in. And furthermore, if we haven't lost you already because you're an introvert, I bet some of the introverts have tuned out by now. But if we haven't lost you, if there's any introverts still listening, we thought about you as well when putting together an Activate course.
Yes.
So there are things in here that are more for those that are more extrovert, that are more outward with their expressions and maybe not as embarrassed as easy.
Yeah.
But there's also just as many portions of Activate when we challenge you to live out your faith that do think through those that may be less introverts.
Working behind the scenes.
Things like that. And so, for example, instead of volunteering at a pregnancy center, we asked for that you would be the one that collected diapers to give you're not excluded.
We have minimized the number of excuses people can have.
That is right. We have minimized. That's right.
Because, well, I don't like talking to people.
And of course, just to knock out a few other things, and then I'll conclude with talking about Men of Honor with the last couple minutes we got. But as far as Activate goes, obviously, there's several good professors. I'll read off some right here. You got Abe Hamilton, Bert Harper, Ed Battagliano, Rick Green, who's a co-host with you on this program, mm-hmm. Joseph Parker, Rob West, Jeff and Debbie Shreve, Stephen McDowell, just a whole list of very, very good professors. Many of our listening audience are familiar with those. Very engaging, very helpful in articulating the positions that we hold very close to us. And again, we cover these from all these the topics we've talked about. We cover them from an apologetic standpoint all the way to a science standpoint. And within both of those categories and more, we obviously have the Bible as our backdrop to all that we do. So very excited about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to mention Men of Honor in the Ark. We've got about a minute or two left. Men of Honor is a program, Wesley, that you've been heading up for the last 4 or 5 years here at AFA. And we're doing it again this year. So not only are we doing it here in North Mississippi for those who want to join us, but you also have a downloadable outline curriculum that folks can replicate in their communities.
Yes, Men of Honor is because the core of AFA is the family. We see that there is a big need for biblical discipleship amongst young men, especially those who are without it because they don't have their dad presence in their life. So we have created a Men of Honor program that we host at our headquarters here in Tupelo, Mississippi during the summertime. And we have, this will be our fifth annual summer that we have hosted Men of Honor. Now, recently it was at a local church, but now because of our new facilities that many of our donors have helped us have, now because of our new facilities, we can host Men of Honor's on site here at our headquarters. And we will do that this summer. You can find out all the information. If you're wanting, if you have a young man or a grandson, or maybe it's a neighbor that you know that would really benefit from godly discipleship, and the Word of God, and in life skills such as changing a tire, yard maintenance, how to apply for a job,
firearm safety.
If you want to do that, go to Men of Honor. I'm sorry, go to afa.net/events. If you're looking to sign a young person up there, we'll also provide a link in the show notes to the curriculum in case you want to download it and do it at your local community because you can't make it here because of drive distance. So we have the curriculum that we will make available for you.
Excellent. AFA.net/events for the Men of Honor program if you want to register if you're in the North Mississippi area. Also, Wesley Wildman, Tony Vitagliano, and other team members will be at the Ark Encounter in Cincinnati, Ohio area at the end of October, October 31 through November 2. 2024. Register for that as well at afa.net/events. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance of life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 on your phone and then say the keyword baby. Or you can donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to the program here on The Core. Last segment underway, and we talked to my brother Wesley last segment about a couple projects he's working on. The Ark Encounter, that's where we will be at the end of October of this year. And if you would like to join my brother, Wesley, and Tony Vitagliano and other members of our team, they will be at the Ark Encounter at the end of October. You can get the specific dates, the pricing breakdown, all the information you need at afa.net/events. And I was planning to be there, but then my wife and I found out that we're having our fifth child at the end of, at some point in October. The due date is at the end of October. So we don't know, of course, when the baby will come. The Lord knows that. We don't. But I won't be able to make it to the Ark Encounter at the end of October because I need to be a good dad and help my wife with our five children. So I was planning to be there, but I'm not going to be there at the end of October. But my brother Wesley, Tony Vitagliano, and others will be there for a good time. We're going to add the Creation Museum. We have added the Creation Museum to the lineup on our trip. So we're going to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, both back-to-back on two different days. So it's an excellent event. Last year we did it for the first time, and it was a very, very good experience. So afa.net/events. You can find out more information. Rocky Malloy is with us. He's founder now of National School Chaplain Association. We've been working with himself and his group on legislation around the country, trying to push some of these over the finish line. And Rocky's with us now. Rocky, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, Rocky, I met with your team last year and some members of your team just to get briefed on this National School Chaplain project. And of course, this is what you guys do. This is your association. This is your primary purpose. But you've been working to get school chaplains instituted in states around the country. And each state is different as far as how their state law handles this. But you guys have your own model legislation. I mean, you've got everything people need to know when it comes to implementing a school chaplain program in their state. So give us a little background here. Give us a little backdrop as to what the school chaplain program exactly is.
Well, it started almost 30 years ago in Latin America as a way to help children stay in school. I was unfortunate enough to witness children having their organs harvested, being sold into sex slavery. I mean, everything you've heard, it's true, and I've seen it. I've talked to the kids firsthand, and if they were in school, they were less likely to become a victim. So the whole thing started with how can we protect children by helping them stay in school? Jesus works, man. Kids love Jesus. They want to be around Jesus. So the idea was how to get Jesus in school and do it in a way that kids liked it. And so, you know what, man? It took off bigger than I could imagine. Right now, there's over 30,000 schools with our chaplains serving 27 million people. And then a couple of years ago, the State Board of Education in Texas looked at some of the social impact it was having, like 80% reduction in teen pregnancies, 37% increase in graduations. The big one was zero reported suicide. State Board of Education took it over to the Texas legislators. They looked at it. They ran it through all the legal departments. They go, yeah, there's no reason not to do it. And they were somewhat surprised, but I wasn't surprised. Chaplaincy existed before the U.S. Constitution has been upheld by district and Supreme Court for over 250 years.
Yes. And our military has chaplains, basically every agency, if you will, and Congress has its own chaplain. I mean, this is a very well-established program and institution and idea. What kind of success are you guys having? I know you already have this in place in some states and you're working on it in others, but what's the status update on implementing this in states around the country?
Well, after Texas passed it, Florida was close behind. It was signed into law just a few months ago. Louisiana has passed a House version and a Senate version in both the House and the Senate. So it's crossed over. Now it's what's called reconciliation, where they bring the bill's language together so they can send one bill to the governor. If it really in Louisiana, both bills pass, So theoretically, they would send both a House version and a Senate version to the governor to sign, which could create a little confusion because the language is not exactly the same. So I was on the phone with them the other day. They're bringing that together. Pennsylvania is filing legislation. They've actually filed the bill. Ohio's had it filed for a while. South Carolina, Oklahoma, Iowa are all, they're all working it. Several states filed the legislation, including the great state of Mississippi, but it didn't really hit a lot of resistance, but there was some verbiage in the language and some other things that just didn't get over the line. But Mississippi should be ground zero for this type of, because it's so successful at supporting students.
Amen. Let me ask you about the concern that the question that I had on the front end of learning about this last year, learning more about it. I knew about the concept, and you probably get this some, and you guys of course are able to completely answer this with confidence. But what about people who do ask, you know, about this chaplaincy program being hijacked by non-Christians? What's your answer to that response or that question?
You know what? I understand where the question comes from, but when you have the data, it's like it's really uninformed question. Here's why. Because right now at a state level, as you mentioned earlier, the federal government has about 10,000 federal chaplains. Well, there's thousands of chaplains at work at the state level. 91% on average are Protestants. That includes evangelicals. 7% are Catholics. About 1.5% are Orthodox. 0.3% are everything else you can think of. Wow. Right? So they're just not in the market, man. They're not motivated. So the threats that, and the big threat is we're going to be overrun by hordes of Satanists. First of all, Satanism is not a religion.
Correct.
Because if you blaspheme God, you cannot be a religion, so they don't qualify. There's not a single satanic chaplain in federal employment for that reason. And they're on record for saying, we don't have any chaplains, and we don't want any chaplains because we're going to do other stuff. So then they're making all the news saying, oh, we're going to overrun Florida and Texas and Mississippi and everywhere else with satanic chaplains when they don't have any.
Amen. I knew you could answer it well, and you did. I appreciate that. Rocky, thanks so much for your work. Your website is National School Chaplain Association, all that together, nationalschoolchaplainassociation.org. Folks can just look you up, NSCA or National School Chaplain Association, on their search engine. Check out your work and your legislation. Hey, Rocky, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you. Let me add, you can just go to Campus Chaplains. It's simpler. Campuschaplains.org, and it'll take you right there, answer all your questions. Thank you so much for letting me talk to you today about helping teachers and students in schools.
Amen. Campuschaplains.org. Much simpler URL there, campuschaplains.org. Thanks so much, Rocky. Appreciate you coming on, and we'll continue partnering with them on this legislation around the country. Hopefully get it through the finish line in the next legislative cycle here in Mississippi. And it's already on the books in Texas. So a good interview there, and excellent program that they're working on. The stats on this are phenomenal. The return on investment, if you will, is phenomenal with this program. A lot of need out there for this type program in our school system. Well, jumping back to a topic that I talk about often, and that is the economy and the Green New Deal agenda put forth by the Biden administration and his Marxist elements in his party. Our economy is in an interesting position. It's going to teeter one way or the other, probably in the next 6 to 12 months, depending on how inflation goes, what the GDP numbers look like, and what Washington does in response. Interest rates are still holding the wish list of having multiple rate cuts in 2024 is just that. It's a complete wish list. Not going to happen, barring some massive recession news. But unemployment is slowly beginning to rise. Consumer weakness is continuing to rise. Credit card debt is continuing to go up. Delinquencies on credit card and auto loans are going up. So we're seeing a weakening of the consumer, a buckling, not a weakening. We've been weakening for 2 years under double-digit inflation numbers. But we're seeing a buckling of the consumer in certain regards. It's not apocalyptic. It's not 07, 08 levels. It could be if things start falling apart. But one major item that has been driving inflation has been Washington spending. I mean, they are on a binge spending spree. They know no limits. One guy says, I want to spend $1 trillion. The next seller says, I want to spend $2 trillion. And the third one says, I think we should spend $5 trillion. And the fourth one says, let's do $6 trillion. So they know. They are spending like drunken sellers. They know no limit. Nobody knows how to say no. They all just print the money. And that's why we have the inflation numbers that we have today. I mean, we're still reeling from the lag effect of the COVID stimulus saga. Biden comes in after the COVID stimulus saga and does another round of spending his first month or two in office. So Washington spending levels are leading the inflation train. They are leading the inflation charge. And another area that the government has been propping up is the electric vehicle industry and the whole green energy industry, although it's technically not very green, not any more green than fossil fuels because they have to mine the minerals for these solar panels and the lithium batteries. And then discard them, they bury them, and they poison the ground that they're in. So the green energy is no more green than fossil fuels. I would argue it's actually more toxic than fossil fuels. But nonetheless, we knew that this whole industry was being propped up by government subsidies, but we never had the government admit it. And here we have the government admitting it. This is Katherine Tai. She's a U.S. trade representative. And she's talking about two different things here, both related. She's talking about the government. She's confessing that the Green New Deal agenda cannot stand on its own from a consumer demand standpoint. But secondly, that China is flooding the market with cheap electric vehicles, and that is becoming a major problem, really undermining the green agenda by the Biden administration. Let's listen.
Ambassador Tai, I can understand the idea of wanting to play on a level playing field, but it does seem like we are picking up some of the very tactics that you're criticizing China for. On this, you talk about things like industries where they have been heavily subsidized by China. But in the same announcement, you put out that we are doing this to protect our investments, our subsidies of the different industries that we've chosen to subsidize.
So I'm glad you raised that because it's an important point. The types of support that we are providing and the types of measures that we are taking are on a completely different scale, and they are, at the end of the day, still completely based on market logic of supply and demand. Frankly, with respect to clean energy technology, we have seen that the market operating on its own cannot provide the boost, the turbocharge that's required to get us into the technology developments that we need. But on top of that, and market inertia that we have to contend with, is this PRC, Beijing-based economic machine that is artificially tilting the playing field significantly.
Well, there you have it. That's Katherine Tai, U.S. Trade Representative on CNBC, admitting in the first part there that the green energy movement, the not-so-green energy movement, it can't, quote, can't rely on the market, and it, quote, won't provide the boost we need. So the consumer demand for these alternative energy sources and electric vehicles is just not there to allow it to stand on its own, to have enough supply and demand for it to organically work itself out like every other industry on the planet. So the question is, How much longer is the government going to subsidize the electric vehicle industry? How many more years are we going to offer these insane credits on these vehicles until it can stand on its own? That's the magic question. And by the way, Biden introduced tariffs against China's EV market to prevent them from dumping electric vehicles into the U.S. market. Last time I checked, when Trump did tariffs, it was bad, bad, bad.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.